Brothers and sisters, we would like to welcome you to sacrament meeting of the Heatheridge Sixth Ward. We'd also like to extend a special welcome to all those that are visiting, and we're glad to have you here today. I should first announce that Bishop Mike Roberts is presiding, and I, Brother David Holland, will be conducting today. By way of announcements, I'd like to specifically draw everybody's attention to the building cleanup assignments, and also draw your attention to the wonderful talk that was given many years ago by President Uchtdorf of lifting where we stand. And it might seem like a very simple thing, and quite frankly, it is a simple request. We're only assigned to clean the building, generally speaking, by family, one time a year. And if we all show up and lift where we stand, then that's a very easy assignment. If we don't do that, then it becomes much more work for those that do show up that Saturday morning and have to move a grand piano. So please, all of you, take note of when you have been assigned, and we sincerely ask that you work with the family that's been listed to coordinate that, to make sure that you're here at the designated time. And if you can't make it that week, then we ask that you work with other families in the ward to exchange your Saturday time or something of that nature. I'd also like to remind people that today is the teaching council, which will be held during the second and third hour in their designated spots, which I believe during the second hour it's held in the overflow, and during the third hour it's held in the new auxiliary room on the whatever corner that is, northeast corner. We'll begin by singing hymn number 98, I Need Thee Every Hour, after which we have asked Brother Colorado to provide the invocation.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for the opportunity to be here this Sabbath morning and for the freedoms we enjoy as we live in this country. Father, we ask that you thy blessings upon Max as he leaves on his mission to Brazil, that he may be a blessing to our brothers and sisters down there as he shares the gospel with them. Bless those who couldn't be here with us, that they may heal and recover and join us later on. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before I get into ward business, we would also like to take time to thank the young men leaders, as well as the young men that participated this past week in the High Adventure activity. We thank Brother Sweet and Brother Groom, Brother Swope, Brother Holland, Brother Waite. There were probably others that I don't know about. We thank you very much for helping them. We're glad that we returned with just as many youth as we left with. And I think they had a lot of fun. So that is good stuff. Girls camp is coming up. We can't promise the same results, but we will have fun. With that, we have released the following individual, and we propose that she be given a vote of thanks. Sister Karen Mitchell as Relief Society Secretary. We ask that you show your appreciation by the uplifted hand. And we have called the following individuals. Please stand as your name is read. We propose that they be sustained. Sister Karen Mitchell and Brother Willie Mitchell have been called as primary workers. Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, if there are any? Thank you. So the great news is that when you have a program that has Isaac, Austin, and Max, you get a chapel filled with young women. And so we welcome you all here. I'll let you three decide who they're here to see. We will begin by hearing from Brother Isaac Buman, then Brother McKay Swope, who's married, so I didn't mention in the attraction concept. After which, Brother Austin Beckstead will give a special musical number, and then we'll be glad to hear from Brother Max Roberts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Isaac. And Brother Crabb asked me to talk on the first great commandment. So, yeah. Amidst the scrutinization and interrogation of the Pharisees, Christ delivers the first and second great commandments, vital primary and secondary laws on which, as Christ himself states, hang all the laws and the prophets. The primary edict delivered by Jesus is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. As I just like said, all of the following commandments can be derived from these simple, plain, monumental tasks. For example, if an individual does indeed have a full and pure love for God and his disciples, principles, this individual will rarely violate the Sabbath day and will do their best to honor their father and mother. The unwavering love for God and his apostles will dominate their conscience of this individual and leave no room for temptation. These principles can be observed and recognized in the actions and morals of those not of our faith. As every one of us knows, there are kind, generous, and generally good people who aren't LDS. I'm sure the Pope is a nice guy, and he's awesome to be around. Haven't met him yet, but another example of his principle is that of my mother's parents' conversion to the gospel. In 1957, my grandfather, Kirk Waldron, married my grandmother, Carol Draper. Neither were raised as members, and neither were married as such. As they began to start a small family, my grandfather felt that there was something missing from his life, a need to be closer to God. Several years later, shortly after my Aunt Carrie was born, the small family was sealed in the temple. In order to accomplish this task, my grandfather had to reconstruct his life in many ways, including to stop smoking and turn his family's life around, which included making a Christ-centered home, which I haven't done it yet, but that sounds pretty hard. To me, this conversion shows a man who's willing to reconstruct and sacrifice everything to convert to God. And I hope as we all continue our usually action-packed and pretty busy lives, we can remember that God's love is not only for us, but that we must love him and all we encounter. Say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm super excited to be here with all of you today to speak alongside these wonderful young men here in Max and Isaac. And I'm super excited for Max and the experience that he's going to have on his mission. I know for sure that he's going to be a great missionary, and not only that, a great representative of Jesus Christ. It's a super, super great opportunity to be able to wear Christ's name on your chest every single day and to preach the gospel. It really is something special. So I'm really, really excited for him. Someone who might not be familiar with the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, might not understand why someone would serve a mission. Why someone would leave their family for 2 years and postpone college during this you know, it's kind of the prime of your life. You finish high school and everything. They might think it's a crazy sacrifice to give up their phone, give up social media, and to sacrifice everything, especially sports. Like, I know Max is a great lacrosse player, and that might seem crazy to someone to just give up sports for 2 years. So one thing that it seems really crazy, to be honest, because he finished high school, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now he's leaving to a foreign country to learn a foreign language. And I think I can help answer that question of why he's going to do this. He isn't going to do it to learn Portuguese. He isn't going to see a new culture, learn more about other people and experience food. Even though that stuff is really, really cool and interesting, he's actually doing it because he loves God. And this love that that Max has for our God is such a great example of the first commandment, like Isaac has mentioned. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today, and I'm happy to do so today. So whenever we're faced with a new subject in school or a new task in our job, we always have to start at the basics. For example, if you're learning how to play the piano, you want to learn how to sit correctly and where to place your hands. And you want to be able to do that before you can actually start playing the more complicated songs. Also, if you're going mountain biking for the first time, you want to know which brake does what. If you're going down a hill and you're coming down pretty fast and you hit that front brake, you might go flying over the handlebars. And trust me, it's happened to me a couple of times. So we'll get back to the basics here, but first I want to share with you guys a few of the things that kind of describe me. If someone were to ask me, hey, what describes you, McKay? I would say baseball and accounting. I love baseball. I was able to play it in high school, and I love watching it as well. It's a lot of fun. Accounting, I am in the accounting program at BYU, and I probably shouldn't say this because you guys might think I'm boring, but I love accounting as well. I think it's a lot of fun, a lot of cool concepts and cool principles as well. So there are some basics to these two things, and they can actually get really, really complicated, and it's crucial that we understand the basics of both baseball and accounting before we can perform well in those two things. So some of the complexities of baseball are that you're standing 60 feet, 6 inches away from a pitcher, and he's throwing 90 miles an hour at you. And you have to react pretty quickly, within, you know, milliseconds, to be able to decide, okay, I'm going to swing at this or not. And you have to be able to get your bat where the ball is at the right time at the right place. Accounting can be pretty complicated as well. You might have the question, well, you probably don't have the question, but there's the questions that come up of how do I account for a lease or pensions? And those can get really complicated, and the answers are not always the same. And so you really need to dig deep and find out how you need to account for those two things. So that's why it's important that we start with the basics. So as I was talking to a family member of mine who's an accounting grad about different career options this last fall, he shared with me many different experiences and personal opinions. Towards the end of the conversation, I felt even more confused about what I wanted to do with an accounting degree. The last thing he said to me, though, was that it doesn't matter what I decide to do, that all I need to remember is that the debits must equal the credits. He reminded me of the first thing you learn about in your very first accounting class. And this is the most basic thing about accounting. And it's so true. If I just remember that my debits equal my credits, I'll be just fine. In baseball, there are some basics as well. My high school baseball coach would always remind us of these basics when we were in tough situations. Sometimes we would overcomplicate, we'd be down a run, and we'd try to do too much, to be completely honest. And in those moments, our coach would tell us, throw strikes, hit strikes, and play catch. It's a simple game. And it really is that simple. Sometimes we overthink it and we can get ourselves into some trouble. Our lives in the gospel can be very much like baseball and accounting. They are complicated. Maybe we aren't doing well with a task at work or school, or maybe our family has been faced with a challenging trial. What are the basics behind getting through this life? Christ gives us the answer in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ taught us the simple way to play life and to live this gospel. And his way of saying all you have to do is throw strikes, hit strikes, and play catch is to simply love our God and love our neighbor. So how do we love God and why? President Uchtdorf says in a talk from October 2009 that God the Eternal Father did not give that first great commandment because he needs us to love him. His power and glory are not diminished should we disregard, deny, or even defile his name. His influence and dominion extend through time and space, independent of our acceptance, approval, or admiration. No, God does not need us to love him, but oh, how we need to love God. For what we love determines what we seek. What we seek determines what we think and do. What we think and do determines who we are and who we will become. By loving him, we can become just like our Father in heaven. What a simple and basic thing we need to do. A great example of someone in the scriptures who loved God is Nephi. He and his family were in the wilderness for years and stayed true to what he was told because he loved God. He suffered and his brothers didn't treat him very great, but he continued to move forward in faith because he loved God. Another question that comes to my mind is, how do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? When I think of how someone has shown love for me, they have either given me a hug or spoken with me or given me a gift of some sort. We really can't give our Heavenly Father a big hug to show our love. President Ezra Taft Benson says this, To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is all-consuming and all-encompassing. It is no lukewarm endeavor. It is total commitment of our very being, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So a love of the Lord. The breadth, depth, and height of his love of God, of this love of God, extend into every facet of one's life. Our desires, be they spiritual or temporal, should be rooted in a love of the Lord. Our thoughts and affections should be centered on the Lord. We can achieve this kind of love for God if we are studying the scriptures both personally and together as families. Our prayers can also allow us to love God with this kind of magnitude as we are trying to know more about him and be more like him. I also believe that God gave us the second great commandment to help us fulfill the first. We can simply love others around us. Like I said before, this can be with a hug or spending time with someone and listening to them. Think of times when you felt love from someone else. Do those same exact things with the people that surround you. This is a sign of showing our love for our Heavenly Father. We truly have some amazing people in this ward that really love our Heavenly Father. They're great examples of people who follow these two great commandments. Our leaders are wonderful, and I'm super grateful to have those examples around me. It isn't just shown through our leaders, though. Our youth have been great at showing their love for our Heavenly Father. Over the last couple of days, the young men had their camp out. I was with them a lot of the time, and I saw that they really do love God. On Thursday night, I was driving up to camp with a couple of the boys. We drove up American Fork Canyon and we were about a mile or two from the campsite when the car suddenly stalled. I didn't know what was wrong with the car, but I tried to start it up again and it just wouldn't start. I waited and tried again. Nothing. The young man in the front seat said to me, "I'll get out and push." I thought he was kidding, We were 2 miles from camp, and it was pretty much straight uphill. He was dead serious and more than willing to do that. I didn't make him do that, and I just kept trying. I finally got the car to start. As soon as the car started, the other man in the back seat cheered and said, "I said a prayer," and as soon as I finished the prayer, the car started. This experience was amazing. It shows an example of two young men that are keeping the commandments. The one was willing to push our car up a very steep hill, and the other trusted God and loved him enough to cry out for help. It was such an awesome thing to be able to see these two young men keeping the commandments and really loving God. One of the principles in accounting that can be applied to these two commandments is that of balance. Like my friend told me, the debits will always equal the credits. All the transactions have a debit and an equally sized credit, no exceptions. How does this apply to the two commandments that I've spoken about today? When our life gets out of balance and our debits don't equal the credits, and we are struggling to get by or we are facing a difficult trial, we can get our debits to equal the credits by loving God and his children. It is as simple as throwing strikes, hitting strikes, and playing catch. President Benson shared this in his talk. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims of our affection, the demands on our time, the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities. What a great thing to know that a prophet of God has promised us with the blessing that all other things will fall into their proper place as long as we keep these two commandments. I know of the importance of loving God. I've seen this love for me in my life, and it helps me to know how to love him and love his children. I've seen many great blessings from simply loving God. I'm very grateful for your love of God. And I know you all love God because of the love my family and I have felt from all of you. And I would like to share these things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That was awesome, Austin. Good job. All right, well, good morning, everyone. Man, I'm so happy all of you guys can made it who traveled here today. It means a ton to me to see all my friends and family who I love dearly here supporting me. It really means a lot, and I'm super grateful for all that you guys done to help me get to this point as I've prepared to serve a mission. It really, really does mean a lot. Let's see. Well, so to begin, for those of you guys who don't know, I will be serving a mission in the Brazil São Paulo West Mission, speaking Portuguese. I depart for the Brazil MTC June 18th, where I'll be reporting the next day. I'm super excited to go. It's crazy. It's only about a week away. So when I received the email from Brother Crabb saying that my topic for today's talk was the first great commandment, I was super excited to talk about that because I feel to fully understand the purpose of serving a mission one needs to understand this really deep and beautiful meaning of this great commandment. As I've studied this commandment in preparation for my talk, I've experienced a growth in my testimony and the importance to, quote, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I know and testify with an immovable surety that if you put the Lord first in your life, whether that means serving a mission, observing the Sabbath day, or obeying any of his commandments, that you will always be blessed. By putting God first in a world that pushes him to the side, I promise you that you will receive the blessings he so longingly desires to give you, and you will find joy and happiness in the midst of the treacherous storm that we all experience in the world. So in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, we learn that the Pharisees hoped to deceive Jesus into speaking blasphemy by asking him a question to them that seemed impossible to answer. They asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" To the mind of these scholars who have debated this question many times and who had discovered over 600 commandments, they believed that surely a lowly carpenter's son from Galilee cannot prioritize only one. However, to their astonishment, Jesus responds in verse 37 saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Jesus continues to baffle the Pharisees as he identifies yet another commandment with significant importance. "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is a super powerful statement, and ever since this declaration, people across the world have strived to obey this commandment in hopes of unifying and blessing all of God's children. As we seek to live this commandment daily, the Lord will truly bless us all that he has promised us, and we'll see that his hand in our lives. So in preparation for today, I was instructed to study and ponder three talks given by servants and apostles of God, each explaining and testifying of the importance of the first great commandment. The first talk I studied was given by Elder Holland in the October 2012 General Conference. He powerfully touched, in a way that we all know only he can, my heart as he proclaimed that to show our love for him, we must put aside our fishing nets and come follow him. In other words, to show our love for God, we need to be a true and loyal disciples. The second talk was from General Conference in 2007 by Elder Wordland. He tenderly and heartfeltly explores the idea that love is the quality that best describes a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The final declaration that I studied, the significance of the first great commandment, was given by President Ezra Taft Benson. His testimony of this great commandment shook me, for it made me question my own dedication to the Lord my God. If I could, I would just read their messages and testimonies, but that might take a little while because they're pretty long. But hopefully I can convey their messages well enough and add to their testimonies in order to reiterate the significance and importance of this commandment to love God as being the first and foremost commandment above them all. I love the story that Elder Holland shares in his conference talk about the 12 apostles. In his message, he speaks of the 12 apostles of Christ following the crucifixion. He goes on to portray the exchange of the apostles the way he believes it could have happened, acknowledging their potential confusions as they questioned what to do next. John 21:3 reads, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Having fished through the night, they started back for the shore empty-netted. Upon arriving to the shore, the disciples turned once again fishermen, saw a figure of a man whom they did not recognize in the distance. The man asked them if they had caught anything, in which they replied the answer, "No fisherman likes to reply, no." And following this response, he told the disciples to cast their net on the right side. When they were unable to draw up the net into the boat because of the quantity of the fish, Peter finally recognizes the Lord Jesus, whom he loved. After reuniting with his disciples, Jesus has an exchange with Peter that would be considered the turning point of the apostles' ministry and personal growth. Considering all of Peter's worldly possessions and comforts, Jesus asks Peter, his senior apostle, "Do you love me more than you love all this?" In which Peter responds, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Following this response, Jesus repeats this question, and as before, Peter responds, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And for the third time, Jesus asks the same question, to which Peter once again answers the same. This is where I love Elder Holland's remarks and insight on the story. Acknowledging his non-scriptural elaboration, Elder Holland goes on to say that perhaps Jesus said something like this after his three questions, quote, "Then Peter, why are you here? Why are we back on the same shore, by the same nets, having the same conversation? What I need, Peter, are disciples, and I need them forever." The reason this touches me the most is because I feel like it translates directly to serving a mission. The apostles have been with the Lord for no more than 3 years, serving, teaching, and blessing the lives of all they had come in contact with. But when they thought their work was done, they turned away and went back to their old ways of life. When they failed to put God at the forefront of their lives, they struggled temporally and spiritually, as we see as they go fishing. As a missionary, I will be a representative of Jesus Christ. And honestly, I believe that as I do what I'm supposed to do on my mission, that the mission will probably be the easiest time to put the Lord first in my life. And I know that as I focus on God and loving Him and His children during my mission, He will help me carry my burdens and guide me on the path of righteousness. But like the apostles, the real test of faith in this great commandment isn't on the mission, but after. Missionary work goes beyond the 2 years of being set apart as an elder. As the Lord says, missionary work is forever. I think Elder Worthland's conference talk might be one of the greatest testimonies of the great commandment, not only for the words that were spoken and given, but the display of love shown during his talk. I don't know very much about Elder Worthland, to be honest, other than that he was an apostle when I was younger. But in this conference, it was very apparent that he was physically drained and that his ministry on this side of the veil was coming to an end. As he preached with his remaining might about the power of love and the importance to love not only God but thy neighbor, his strength began to fail him, and he looked as though he was struggling to remain standing and deliver the rest of his divinely revealed message. But in the middle of his talk, the then apostle and now our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, stood up and supported his fellow apostle and good friend as Elder Worthland was able to continue to preach the remaining piece of his beautiful testimony. I loved Elder Worthland's words on love and that we must love all. But to see the act of love itself in the middle of the talk is what really touched and strengthened my testimony in the great commandment the most. Not only did it strengthen my testimony of the beautiful commandment, but of a living prophet. And this is kind of off topic, but I know President Nelson is a true and living prophet today. I have a strong belief in that, and I'm super grateful for that. And I know, without a doubt, Russell Nelson is a prophet of God, and that he does receive revelation from God to guide us in these latter days, and that he truly does love each and every one of us. Whether it seems like it's impossible because there's so many people, but I think for him, it's possible that he really can love all of us, and I'm so grateful for that knowledge and testimony. But through President Nelson's act of charity, we witness that to show our love for God and his children and be diligent to keep this great commandment, we must actually act and be doers. I know this is something I can definitely work on, and I'm willing to work on it if that means I will become closer to my Father in heaven and my fellow men. To me, being a doer is more than just serving others. It means that you're willing to make sacrifices and step out of your comfort zone to put God first and show love for others. As we are pushed to our spiritual limits, we will grow and become more like him, and we will see the blessings that come from putting the Lord first in our lives. I think it's fair to acknowledge that sometimes the things he asks of us might not seem very easy. We could, in those circumstances, we might find ourselves asking the why not questions and saying, well, I did that and it didn't hurt me, so it's all good. Or, well, it's not that big of a deal what I just did, but maybe I'll repent of it later or something. Because of these thoughts and failure to remember our God first, we suffer a consequence far worse than any punishment. We miss out on blessings. Again, I testify that as we put the Lord first, he will bless us more than we can even imagine. The final talk I studied was given by Ezra Taft Benson in the April 1988 General Conference. No one could have a much stronger testimony of the first commandment than President Benson. Honestly, he kind of lays the smack down of the great commandment and how important it is. He continually states, we should put God ahead of everything else in our lives. His firmness, or rather bluntness on the matter, caught me a little off guard, but it helped me ask myself important questions of how diligent I am keeping his commandments. I was able to ask myself, am I truly standing up for what is right? Am I actually showing love to my peers? And do I put God first in my life? We must never let anything hold us back from having God at the focal point of our life. Only through our loving Heavenly Father can we receive those blessings as we desire. A great example of this and following God is Nephi. After Nephi broke his bow, all, even his father, who was the prophet, murmured against him and the Lord. Just imagine for a second if Nephi would have sat back and just said, well, since everyone else is not happy right now and is complaining about this hardship, and even my dad, who's the prophet, I guess it's all right if I can give up too. But and in result of that, their whole family probably would have been lost and probably would have most definitely died in the wilderness and never reached the promised land. However, Nephi had put the Lord first in his life, and because he obeyed this great commandment, he was blessed with the humility to turn to the Lord for guidance and strength, and his whole family was able to survive and continue on their journey to the promised land. Strive always to put God first in your lives. He will always bless you. Also, it's interesting to think that if we really do obey these great commandments, would we even want to break the other commandments? Would we want to hurt or steal or cheat from others or covet our neighbor's things? Would we want to worship other idols or commit adultery or disrespect the Sabbath? And the simple answer is no. If we have a strong testimony in this great commandment, we won't have a desire to break those commandments that he has given us, not only for our own sake, but to help and bless us and those around us and make our lives even more happy. And by making the choice to love others and put God first in our lives, I testify that we will have the strength to resist the temptations of the adversary, and that we will have the constant presence of the Holy Ghost to guide us to do what is right. So when Brother Crabb asked me to speak on this topic, he also asked me to kind of turn, relate it to my mission in a sense, and I feel like I've done that a little bit, but I think I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to serve a mission. I'm grateful to be surrounded by my peers and my friends who are also making this amazing decision to serve a mission, whether it's right now or maybe a year after school or something like that. And I'm so happy for this opportunity, especially to see my friends also make the right decisions to do this. I think it's probably the greatest test and example of obeying the first great commandment and the second, because it's kind of crazy leaving right now. It's, again, like we was said, it's only been like 2 or 3 weeks since graduation, and I'm getting ready, and I know there's already a couple people who are leaving before me or who are already in the MTCs right now, and it's crazy at this time. It's everything just seems like it's working out right. Like, I've got accepted into school and like graduated. It just seems like life's kind of doing really well right now, but I know that this is the right thing to do, And I'm just super grateful, honestly. I think one of the best examples of one of the greatest examples of serving a mission in my life is just hearing the story of my dad serving a mission. Because, again, I've heard the story a lot of times, but he wasn't like planning on serving a mission really up until his senior year. He had plans of going and playing football in college and all these things. Everything just seemed lined up perfectly for him. But in his patriarchal blessing, he got a very direct message to serve a mission. And I'm so grateful for that example and the blessings that has brought into, and not only into his life, but my family's life as well. And I'm grateful that I can follow that example and go out and serve a mission. And I think it's even it was probably even harder for him to leave behind what he had, especially since I'm super grateful to have a knowledge of the gospel throughout my whole life. I'm so grateful that from a young age, I've always known that I was going to serve a mission, that I was in primary singing the songs about getting called on a mission, and I always knew that, but to think that my dad really never that probably didn't come across his mind until it was on and there is remarkable, to leave everything behind. And I know that leaving behind the world for the service of God and service of his children is the right thing to do. And especially those who are still maybe thinking about missions, whether it's right now or coming up in the future, I strongly recommend not only just to serve, but to really find for yourself if that's what you need to do. And I promise that if you pray to your Heavenly Father who loves you so much and desires to bless you, and search diligently the scriptures and the words of the prophets, that you will find your answer and you will know the right answers to serve a mission. And I'm so grateful for that testimony I have and that. I just kind of like to finish off by bearing a quick testimony that I really do know this church is true. Growing up in the church, you hear that a lot, and that's kind of the basis of your testimony that your parents tell you to say. And I'm grateful that my parents told me to say that, because now that I have my own testimony, I really do know that the church is true and that it's the only way to find true and lasting happiness in not only this world, but the world to come. I know the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and I'm so grateful for that blessing that it has been in my life. I know that Joseph Smith is a true prophet, and that he did restore this gospel and the keys of the priesthood and everything that we need to be saved and return to our Heavenly Father. I'm so grateful for temples, and I truly have a testimony of the power of and the importance of the temple to return to our Heavenly Father and to become like him and become God-like. I know that is the goal, is to live with our Heavenly Father again and be in a celestial state with him. And I look forward to that day when I can be there with all of you guys in the celestial kingdom and true and never-ending happiness. And again, I'm grateful for my family and, again, for pushing me to get where I am now. And it's been a blessing in my life, and I know I couldn't do it by myself. And that's just a thing. We all need someone in our lives to help us get through, and I testify that there is someone there for each and every one of you, and that's our Savior. And I have a testimony that Jesus Christ is my Savior and all of our Saviors, and he truly did die on the cross for us to atone for our sins, and I'm so grateful for his sacrifice to allow me and all of you receive never-ending happiness. And say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We'd like to thank all those that have spoken today and for the messages which they have delivered. We will now have Bishop Roberts will share some words with us, after which we will close by singing hymn number 249 called To Serve, and Sister Andrews will provide the benediction.
Well, last Sunday I really felt the urge to bear my testimony, but we had some great testimonies going, and I didn't want to jump in there and get in the way of other people bearing their testimony. And then I realized, with Max speaking, I'd have an opportunity to get up and bear my testimony. I'm extremely proud of Max and his decision to serve the Lord. I'm proud of our youth. I'm proud of the youth in our stake and around the world, that all of them that are helping move the gospel forward in whatever way that is, serving a mission or just bringing friends into the gospel. Last Sunday, if you didn't have the opportunity to hear President Nelson and his wife speak, it was incredible. The message that they provided to the youth. I've pondered a lot of his thoughts and the whole idea of the fact that, you know, we came to this earth for a purpose. We have a Father in heaven. We have a Savior that has been willing to come and atone for our sins and to provide an example for us. And you know, one of the things we need to be doing is helping share the gospel and bring people unto the Lord. And that's one of the things that our young people are doing through services, their service on their mission. I have such a strong testimony of the plan of salvation and the fact that our Father in heaven loves us so much that he's provided so many means for us to help in the progression on with this plan. The fact that we do have a living prophet that provides guidance. I was thinking as President Nelson laid out five challenges to the youth, I was thinking, you know, will we pay attention to President Nelson's challenges and messages? Because a lot of times, and I mentioned this in our ward council this morning, you know, we scoff at the people in the ancient time when they went and listened to the prophets. And I wonder, you know, are we going to take these things seriously? Are we listening? Because our prophet is a representative of Jesus Christ and is helping us in our progression. So I have a great testimony of a living prophet. I have a great testimony of the scriptures, and especially the Book of Mormon. You know, every day as I ponder and read and study the scriptures, things come alive to me on the importance of things I need to be doing in my life. And it's amazing how it correlates to challenges that you're having and how the scriptures kind of come alive. And then you think about what modern day prophets and apostles have been saying. It's a true blessing. We have the blessing of being able to come and worship and partake of the sacrament every Sunday. We have the blessing of a temple, to be able to go to the temple. And it was such a great experience of being there as Max went through the temple for the first time, and to be able to sit in the celestial room with him and to be able to talk about the great plan of salvation. Our Father in heaven loves us truly and is here and has provided so many things for us. I also am so thankful for a family and what it provides to us, the support. It teaches us. It gives us the opportunity to love and to grow and to develop. And I'm so thankful for my wife and all that she does and her support. Again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. We are all here to gain a body, to gain this experience, but really to return to our Heavenly Father. And as we help one another in this process, we will gain a greater understanding of the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father's soul. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered here on this Sabbath day and to hear the speakers and learn from them, and help us to take those things home and apply them to our daily lives. We're grateful for this Ward family and to feel the love that we have for each other, and help us to use that to know each other's needs. We're grateful for this gospel and all of the blessings that it gives to us. Help us to be good examples to others and to be kind and loving. Please bless us as we go throughout this day, that we'll be watched over and protected, and that we will have a good Sabbath day and enjoy time with our families. We love thee so very much, and we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.